Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rented a house in the Hamptons 6 times, but I always found a reason not to.
Was that reason always Bethany Frankel?
Ha ha.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. That was a clip from And Just Like That, Season 2, which we're going to be recapping here today. The first 2 episodes are out on Max. I have a very special guest, the one and the only Hannah Brown. Not technically the one and only, because there is another Hannah Brown, and I always have to make that distinction when this Hannah Brown is on the show. She's not the woman from the Bachelor universe, but she is my friend and a dear one at that. Hannah, how are you?
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me, Dan. I'm thrilled to be back talking SATC.
I think at this point you might be our most guested person on Everything Iconic.
I'm honored. I mean, I'm amongst legends on this show. Yeah. I can't believe I get to be one of them.
Your family. Family. Yeah.
Family. They're my family.
Well, you know what's so funny is every time we record, we end up doing a Cher impression.
That's true.
And I love doing the Cher impressions, but lately I've been listening to Walkin' in Memphis. You know that song, her cover.
Walkin' in Memphis.
Okay, wait, Hannah. And so in my head, it's been repeating over, you know, when you get it in your head, and you can't get it out. I keep saying Memphis the way Cher does, because I never noticed this before, but obviously she's got the Cher accent. But I was listening to it the other day, and she says, like, Memphis. You listen to the song, like, walking in Memphis. Like, it's the weirdest way to say Memphis, and I'm obsessed with it. But her saying Memphis in my head just, like, keeps going over and over and over again. Memphis. Like,
so would you say Cher saying Memphis has fully eclipsed, isn't that terrible?
Isn't that terrible?
It's Paula terrible.
Isn't that terrible?
I was looking up a movie last night. I was looking up a Nicholas Sparks movie that I thought was called Forever Your Girl. So I set it into my Apple Remote. I'm like, Forever. Ever your girl, and it just shows up with an episode of what's that Paula Abdul show, the reality show she did.
Oh, Hey Paula.
Yeah, it was just an episode of Hey Paula up, and I was like, not what I meant, but appreciate it.
Hey Paula is the best.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, really, Paula Abdul's whole discography is amazing. Like, I know. That whole 90s Cold Hearted Snake is like fantastic.
I mean, Tony and Tina's Wedding, let's talk about it.
Oh, yeah, we were both in a dinner theater show called Tony and Tina's Wedding.
It's sad we weren't in it together. That was like our sliding doors Gwyneth Paltrow moment.
I know, which I don't even think it exists in Chicago anymore.
I don't
Tony
think so.
And Tina's Wedding.
It had a decent run, though.
Yeah. I ate so much pasta during that whole run.
Same. And a lot of sausage.
There's a line in Paula's Cold Hearted Snake, something about trick-or-treating. Other words, a candy store.
Other words, a candy store. He's been trick-or-treating. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know I've been in my Halloween mode lately.
You have?
Yeah. Been hearing a lot about Summerween these days. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this?
Is it like Halloween in the summer?
Yeah.
And like Christmas in July, but Summerween.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm totally on board because I text you TikToks all the time of Halloween. That's all my feed lately.
Yeah. We exchange a lot of like cozy autumnal TikTok content where we're like, oh, I wish I were in this cozy cabin on a rainy day, like with a fire reading a book.
I know.
Or like, oh, this apartment looks like a Nora Ephron apartment. You should look at it.
I'm obsessed with cozy TikTok content. There's a lot of them that are just like people in front of a window where it's raining. Ugh. And I'm just in heaven. Nothing even happens in the TikTok. It's just sort of like basically like a still image with like a book and a candle and rain happening.
Cup of tea.
And I just get lost. Have a little weed, watch the TikTok, and I will just stare at it for hours. And it's just, that's my happy place.
Oh my gosh. During the pandemic,
people are already turning this off. Like, you guys are not talking about Sex in the City. Buckle up, buttercups. This is what happens.
Sit tight, little bear. I during the pandemic got into, I was trying to get into like YouTube coffee shops, like YouTube cafes.
Oh, interesting.
Like it's called like I think like an ambient room, and you go on YouTube and you look up like medieval like bar or like coffee shop, and like it's like rainy coffee shop is one of the ambient rooms, and you just put it up on your screen, and it just made me more depressed because I'm like, but I want to be in a real rainy coffee shop, not an ambient room on YouTube.
But also like not a real one, because we've had a lot of rain here in California.
That's true.
It got really dark.
It got out of hand.
Yeah. Hannah, and just like that, speaking of cozy content, this is cozy content to me. Mm-hmm. Because I unapologetically like love the show. And even when I'm hating it, I love it. Mm-hmm. Like I love that. So that's the disclaimer up front, is that even when I think it's really bad, I love it. Like mm-hmm. I'm having the best time. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the few water cooler shows still on television.
Yeah.
And some of it is so fucking absurd. And I love it when it's more, the more absurd, the better. And then I think when it's like not absurd, it's enjoyable in just like an authentic way.
Yeah. Yeah. Sense? I love seeing Miranda slip sliding her way out of a sensory deprivation tank. Being like, ah, oh, fuck the new me. I'm like, I get it.
Everything about the Miranda, it's shocking to me that they decided to lean into Che Diaz after
shocking
the uproar that was season one, that basically unanimously, I think the world agreed, we do not want more Che Diaz.
No
one. You know what they said? We're giving you more Che Diaz. We're literally going to follow Che Diaz to a new city. We're leaving Lady New York.
Yeah.
And we are bringing Che Diaz and a camera crew to film Che Pasa or Che Pasa.
And we're giving you a backstory about Che Diaz, where Che Diaz is very self-conscious in their body. And we're giving you Che Diaz's boss, played by Chicago actor and comic Abby McKinney, I think her name, I'm sorry if I got their pronouns wrong, is in it. And yeah, we're getting more Che Diaz content than ever.
And a little Tony Danza too, which I love me some sexual awakening.
And did you know, Tony Danza really reminded us many times over that he is in fact not Mexican.
What was the name of his fan base that they said in the show?
The Danza Lions. Danza.
You know what's so funny about the Che Diaz is that when I think of television history, there's been so many times where there's been characters we don't like. Like I always think of the OC. Remember Oliver?
Yes.
Did you watch those?
Oh, yes. Right. Oliver from Phantom of the Megaplex on Disney Channel.
So, oh, there you go.
Yes.
So usually, though, in the history of television, you have these characters. Most recently, Abbott Elementary had this teacher that was really not well received. And she was an actress. I don't know her name, but she had been on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Was so funny. But then mm-hmm. when they brought her on Abbott Elementary at the beginning of this most recent season, it wasn't working. And then they mm-hmm. changed course halfway through. And then that teacher was nowhere to be found, really. Like, we never saw
her. They didn't even tell you. She was just gone.
Like, they were really leaning into her for a few episodes. But then I imagine the network saw the reaction, or the network decided, like, oh, nobody likes this character.
Yeah.
But when it comes to it, and just like that, it's so crazy to me. And I guess because the property and the franchise is so huge that the network's like, you guys do whatever you want. Like, mm-hmm. it's whatever you're doing is working. But it's crazy to me that they were like, let's lean in even further, farther to Che Diaz.
No, maybe they're like reverse psychology-ing us, where they're like, okay, we know you hate Che Diaz. However, as a nation, you're going to watch more and talk more if we expand the Che Diaz storyline, because we unite as a nation over our dislike for Che Diaz.
I suppose what you're saying is they're playing chess while we're playing checkers.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Correct. You know, I love Sarah Ramirez. I'm a Grey's Anatomy mm-hmm. early watcher. And so it's not like I just want to not like Che Diaz.
No.
And I think like it's impossible in a lot of ways to like Che Diaz, because if you've been a longtime viewer of the show, they conditioned us to want the happy ending with Steve.
Yes.
Right? Like, so I think that's ultimately what they wanted. We spent years as an audience watching Sex and the City saying, are Miranda and Steve right for each other?
Right.
And then the whole first movie, Miranda's entire storyline was answering that question. And by the end of it, they were giving us that definitive answer of yes, They are end game. They are the happy ending.
Yes.
Then in the second movie, they said, yeah, we gave her the happy ending, Miranda. And look at, this is what happens after the happy ending. And her big thing in the storyline in the second movie was like balancing work and stuff. But it was like, we already settled the question that we had for the entire run of the series of like, is Steve the one for Miranda?
Yes.
And so then to come back and be like, oh yeah, just kidding. Like, even though we gave you that answer and we literally spent so many hours having you figure this mystery out, and now we're just discarding Steve. And so it's like, I think there's no way the audience wouldn't want to, or wouldn't like, wait, how am I saying that? That the audience would embrace Che Diaz.
Right. Yeah. And that's not Che Diaz's fault. I view And Just Like That as sort of like, a fucked up, again, let's bring it back, like Gwyneth Paltrow sliding doors, like fever dream of a show. In my mind, none of this is real. It's like the episode of Felicity where like you think Noel is dead and he's actually, he ends up not being dead. It's just an alternate universe where he dies in a fire. Like, this isn't real to me. I woke up in the middle of the night last night and I was like, okay, I'm recording with Dan in the morning. And I was like, I can't fucking believe they killed off Big. And like, fuck Chris Noth. I don't think he's a good person. I'm sad that the character of Mr. Big is no longer on the show. I think it's absolutely unhinged that they killed him off.
See, I feel the opposite about it. I was happy that they killed him off.
Oh, great.
Because okay. I didn't like Big. Yeah.
I'm excited for Aiden.
Did you ever go to, I know, I can't wait. Did you ever go to like a Big Lots or like a discount store when you were a kid and they have toys? So like if they had a Frozen toy, they would have like the knockoff version of it. So it'd be not Elsa.
It'd be like Ice Princess.
Elsa, like with an A.
It's Mamphaus.
Mamphaus. It's like Elsa, A-L-S-A, and it's like a bizarro version of Elsa.
Yeah, and her face is like kind of Uncanny Valley, like fucked up. Yeah.
It almost is like that's what you're describing and just like that in comparison to Sex and the City.
It's like Coraline. It's like it's the same people with button eyes. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, Coraline was so fucked up.
I'm in Coraline TikTok. There's a lot of Coraline. And I've only seen the movie once, but I loved the book.
It's like a stop motion. I love the book too. The that author is one of my all-time favorite authors.
He's so good.
Did you ever read The Graveyard Book?
No,
it's sort of Coraline-esque. Yeah, it's
adding
spooky. I mean, yes, it's a good spooky season.
I'm saying, should I read it this Summerween?
Yeah, I just started my best friend's exorcism, or I don't even know what it's called.
Is it a movie?
It's a book.
Book,
but it's like it's sort of a scary, spooky. I just started it. Anyway, I don't think I even got the name right. Anyway, people figure it out. Google it.
Yeah,
figure it out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, that's kind of, I think what you're explaining is like, this is a bizarro version of it, Sex and the City.
Yeah.
But it's hard to take on. Now, that said, I do think these two episodes incorporated the other characters better than the first season. Mm-hmm. However, it's still not quite gelling there for me. I love Seema.
Love.
Like, I'm here for Seema. Like, show me all the Seema scenes. I feel like it's just... It feels a little effortless with Seema, do you think?
Yeah, I think she's like aspirational and cool and funny. And she's fucking that hot French guy from Emily in Paris. He's so incredibly attractive to me. And yeah,
do
I think
she's the Kardashians.
No. Was he on the Kardashians?
No, but there was just this other hot guy from a Netflix show on the Kardashians this week. Michelle something from that 365 Days show.
Oh, wasn't that movie like canceled or something? Because people were like, it's like...
I have no idea. He was just on Kardashian. They were like, oh, he's on this Netflix show. And they were trying to set him up with Khloe. He was just very hot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Did he have a blouse on the show?
He did on Kardashians, yes. Okay. But I think on his show, he's maybe like naked a lot.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure, full circle moment, when I interviewed Teresa Giudice from Jersey, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, I'd have to go back and listen, but I think that was who she said was like her sexiest man alive. Like he's beautiful. He's tall, gorgeous, just a beautiful man. Anyway, I don't know why we got there.
Remember when we had that one male crush that we kept sending his content back and forth, and now he's like married with a baby? And we
Matthew Noska, he's Noska Noska or something.
Yeah,
he's
Noksha,
like the hottest male model.
He's so hot.
He's in the new Jennifer Lawrence movie.
Shut up!
I follow him, and he was at the premiere.
Oh
and
my god!
They better take that top off. I better not see the blouse.
And he's
on.
Married to Inanna, and they have like a beautiful child together.
They're just like too pretty.
They're
still
too
follow,
hot,
and I'm like, you're just too pretty.
I think I had to unfollow because it was just like. Tough for me.
Right. What do you make of the... I've talked on Everything Iconic about Samantha coming back for this cameo. What do you make? It's been in the press, and obviously Kim Cattrall has announced what was going on. What do you make of it?
I think it's so slay the way she's doing this. Yeah. First of all, I love the pettiness of her Netflix show Glamorous coming out on the exact same day.
Right.
Which I will be watching this evening. Right. And I also just love that she's like, okay, so here's the deal. I'll come back on your little show. Yeah. But I'm going to shoot for maybe like 2 hours. I'm going to make a ridiculous. Yes, exactly.
Least.
A ridiculous figure. Okay. It's going to be away from everyone. I'm not even going to talk to anyone else. And then I'm going to leave.
I guarantee she got some sort of that was a big rumor when they were thinking about doing the third movie. The rumor was that she wanted a development deal with HBO and to develop something on her own. So she's like, I'll do it if you give me these things. Mm-hmm. I would bet my bottom dollar that it was not just a huge paycheck, not just these terms of like, I'll give you an hour and like,
yeah.
I'm not even using your costume or I'm using Pat. And they brought Pat Fields back
just for her,
just for that scene. and not filming with nobody else. I bet you they also gave her a development deal and a shitload of money.
It like makes me horny thinking about like that level of like business acumen and like leverage that she had. It's incredible. I only hope. Yeah.
I also have this theory. Do you follow any of like the David Zaslav stuff? I don't even know if I'm saying his name right, but he's the one who runs Warner Brothers Discovery now.
Okay.
And people like in the industry, a lot of people don't like the way he's like running everything. And I have this like crazy conspiracy theory that like he was like, I'm making all these crazy decisions that are making people upset. Like he's, people are rumored, he's rumored to be like removing TCM, Turner Classic Movies, which like people are so passionate about. Yeah. And like he's been canceling things like the Batgirl movie and like just really doing a lot of things that make people upset. So I have this theory that he was like, okay, I need to get back in good graces with people. And what's the best way to do that is like get Kim Cattrall in for a cameo.
It's true.
Like I just imagine like we have to figure something out. What are people going to like me for? And that's a quick, easy way. And
yeah.
So I feel like that he was the one who was probably like, okay, we got to get Kim back. What do we got to give her?
Pay her everything.
Give her the money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh, I love it.
I know. I'm happy. I'm excited for it. But I know it's just going to be disappointing because it'll be like 10 seconds.
It is. But I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the whole show is disappointing. But I also appreciate that you view it as like a comfort show.
Do you think that ABC would give Che Diaz a show called Che Pasa? Which, by the way, why don't they just call it Che?
It needs to be Che Pasa.
Che Pasa is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Like, I don't know if we've all unpacked that quite yet, but Che Pasa is the craziest thing that's ever been on television.
Of all time.
Those two words together is fucking nuts.
It's a fever dream.
Yeah. And the idea that like ABC would just be like, here, a sitcom, Che Diaz, it's crazy.
Here you go.
And I say this as someone who like wants older content on TV, but I just don't see a world that's happening right now where ABC is giving a 46 or 47 year old comedian their own show. It's barely, nobody's getting their own show anymore.
No.
But especially I don't mean that as me ageist. I just mean that as the studios, like how many times are we tuning into ABC and seeing,
I think it's not the 90s.
And in the 90s, they were doing it for like young comedians.
Yeah. I was going to say like, if culturally we were in a moment of like, vintage Bravo, like My Life on the D-List era, like original Queer Eye era. I could see Che Diaz having like a reality TV show in that like realm of like their life, like navigating LA as a comic of a certain age, like
with
that
Miranda. Show
with Miranda in tow. And there would be like a scene where like, you know, they go to some like diner in LA and like Miranda like has indigestion and Che's like, you know, waiting outside the bathroom for Miranda. You know, those like,
I'd watch that.
You know, this scene where like Jessica Simpson and Casey get like LASIK and they're like at lunch together. Like
at the Red Robin.
Yes. That's the kind of scene that I would want with like Che Diaz and Miranda in Che Diaz's reality show called Che Pasa.
Yeah. They're just like at Buffalo Wild Wings and Miranda's like, where am I?
Yeah. Miranda like has to shit.
Yeah. I love that idea. Also, we use the term comedian loosely because we did see a little of Che Diaz's comedy
set. This was rough.
And we should talk about this for a while because closing joke was about Uber, about taking an Uber from the living room to the bedroom. And it was like, that's the closer. And everyone in the audience was like,
and then Che Diaz moves the mic stand and goes, and that's my time. Thank you so much, everyone.
That's my time. I had to take an Uber from my bedroom to the living room. Like, it was the most aggressive. Those extras on set, they deserve higher pay scale for the day because they had to really act.
They really did.
That was like a rupture of applause.
You can't walk anywhere around here. You can't walk. I'm taking Uber from my living room to the bathroom.
Also, if you watch Sex and the City, like seeing Miranda in a comedy club was shocking to me because there was a whole episode in the original Sex and the City where Miranda's like feuding with the comedian.
Yes.
And so now to see Miranda just, I don't believe Miranda would want to be in a comedy club.
No. Right? And if she was in a comedy club, she would be aggressively wasted. That's the only way I can handle a comedy club. Right. I have to be drunk and heckling.
I know. You know, Matt really hates comedy. Yeah.
And I get that.
Matt is like very anti. I used to make Matt go to like improv shows and stand up when I would do it. And he always like despised it.
Yeah.
Like he brought this up and I'm sure I've told you this before, but Che was performing at the Comedy Store and I did my infamous stand up show. I did a show, a night called She's Funny with a Z at the Comedy Store. And so I was just imagining, like, what if I was on the bill with Che Diaz? Like, I mean, wild.
If only.
I was just imagining a sliding your doors universe of my own where it's like,
yeah,
me and Che were performing together at the Comedy Store. But Matt hates comedians and stuff like that because there's, you have to wade through so much bad stuff to get to like a fun thing.
To laugh for 5 seconds.
And sometimes like stand up, it's really kind of forced a lot of times. Like,
yeah,
it really is an art form to make it seem more conversational.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something so cringe about just, I don't know, that closing joke.
Comedy club culture is really tough.
It's wild.
And yeah, I mean, Matt's probably like really trying to not be like those underpaid extras in And Just Like That.
And he has no poker face. Like, you know, I mean, it's not even resting bitch face. It's like if he's just cannot control if he's disgusted by something, like it's just going to show on his face. Like,
yeah,
sometimes we'll be talking and I've told him this before too. I'm like, you need to show some other kinds of emotion when you're talking to people. Because I feel like people think that he's being rude or something, but it's just that he's just like not, if somebody's like telling a story, he's not interested, he'll just like not be able to show interest.
I love that.
In his face. And sometimes I'm like, Matt, like you're coming across as rude. He's like, what? He doesn't get it. He does like comedy, just not like the forced.
Funny comedy. Yeah. That's the difference. Exactly. Am I right? Ladies, am I right?
Ladies, am I right? I need the ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah.
I would love to see like a full stand up set from Che Diaz. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to know, like, get me in that headspace. Let me see this whole thing unfold so that I can fully judge. We saw some bits last season, but it was like that weird sort of Hannah Gatsby, like inspirational.
Yeah, Nanette vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after what we saw last season, like, was ABC really coming and knocking on Che Diaz's door after seeing what we saw?
The other thing,
Hannah Gatsby don't even got an ABC show.
True. And you know what? Hannah Gatsby should.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that. Okay.
Man fails.
I wonder if after this season of In Just Like That, HBO is going to like triple down on the Che Diaz content and have a meta moment where Che Diaz has a Max stand-up special.
Wow. I don't have that on the soundboard at the moment.
No.
But I do have this.
Honey, they don't call it a job for nothing.
Samantha, I miss her. Shall we talk about Charlotte?
Yeah.
Let's discuss Charlotte. Now, what are you making of Charlotte and Harry? And I think we're getting more Harry this season. We got very little Harry last year.
Yeah.
But now we're getting a lot. It seems like Anthony's fully integrated into Charlotte's life. Like, we're seeing them two together, and Anthony's there, at the house a lot. What do you make of them?
You know, I love watching Charlotte and Harry interact. I always have. I always will. Anthony's fun. I don't really care about like Charlotte's kids' storylines. Like, I know that's part of Charlotte's life, so like there has to be some development there. But like, I'm not interested in like the Lily and Rose show.
Right.
Like Lily's like little Billie Eilish moment. Like, I don't care.
I would so much rather them explore over the course, like individual episodes, not a full season arc. But, and I've been saying this on the pod, I recapped the original Sex and the City on the Patreon page for Everything Iconic. But I really think that they should explore like the gal's parents and family lives, and like Charlotte, Miranda, and Carrie, meaning like, mm-hmm, I want to know their parents and stuff. They've, mm-hmm, never explored that. And I've heard Michael Patrick King say, or somebody within production say, because it's a show about friendship, obviously, like we're exploring the friendships. But then when I'm seeing that we're exploring like Charlotte's kids, it's like, well, okay, I want to know like a little bit about their upbringing.
Yeah.
Like, we've never learned anything about that. Like, what made these people into the people that we first met in season one of Sex and the City.
Right.
And there's, I think we had that one episode where Miranda's mom died or something.
Yeah.
But it's been so sorely or minusculely explored. And I'm like, now that we haven't Just Like That, I would like to know that stuff.
That's true. We have more like runway for those kinds of like nuances to the story.
Yeah. I don't know if I care about the kids though.
No, I want to know like, why is Charlotte so type A and perfectionist and like,
right,
is that a word? Yeah.
Yeah. Perfectionist.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you, Charlotte's, what do you make of all their looks? I suppose I should say, That's another complaint I've had about the original season one of In Just Like That. Like, I didn't love the outfits. I thought Pat was, like, sorely missing.
Yeah.
Nothing really, like, blew me away. And this whole first episode is about, like, this Met Gala thing.
Yes.
And they all got invited. Inexplicably, they all got invited to the Met Gala. Mm-hmm. They were also so fucking rude to Anthony about the Met Gala thing. Like, did you not feel like that was crazy?
It was crazy. Anthony should have been there.
That's some Uncanny Valley shit. Because it was like, they just kept calling him and be like, you're not invited anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he was like, ah, man. And I'm like, that sucks.
It felt like a very, I don't know if I was just offended, like, as a gay person, because that's how it was. That's how I felt, where it was like, oh, my husband's coming now. And it's like, well, you invited your best friend.
Literally.
It's just like, now you're discarding him because your husband, I don't know. Just,
because Harry feels like wearing, you know, a top hat.
I know.
Get out of here.
Harry's like definitely in some sort of like CBS sitcom. Like, everybody else is in this HBO dramedy. Yes. And I feel like Harry is just doing According to Jim.
That's so true. Mike and Molly.
He is just like on a separate thing, coming in with these jokes and stuff.
You know, in LA acting classes when they're like, I just want to make sure we're all like in genre with this piece, like with this scene. And like, I've had teachers like adjust. I'm like, okay, so you're acting. Yeah. Right now it's reading a little sitcom-y. We need to take it to a place right. of Hulu or whatever. And yeah, I don't think Harry got the note.
My note was always in acting classes. Like, you're doing Disney Channel.
You're like, well, maybe I should book some Disney Channel then.
I had an improv teacher tell me once, like, I was smiling too much. And I was like, but I'm having fun. Like, but every character would be on stage just with like a big smile. And I was like, but I'm having a good time. Like, let's have fun in here. And like, you know, especially in your early 20s and stuff like that, everyone else would come in and like want to do these dramatic bits, especially when you get in improv, there is either like the really shticky people who come in with their like stand-up jokes, or there's people who like want to somehow make it an artsy, like dramatic scene. Mm-hmm. And I was just coming in like a smile on my face. Like, somebody would try to make the scene something dramatic, and I'd be like, oh my God, let's have some fun, girl.
You would go full Valerie Cherish and climbing the ladder.
I was just having a good time.
Yeah.
The Met thing, though, it was such a stretch for me that they would all be going to this event. But I was willing to kind of like let the fairy tale wash over me. Mm-hmm. But then we never got the Met Gala.
We didn't even get to see it. All we saw was Carrie pull out the bird and repurpose her Vivian Westwood.
I wish we were watching Harry Carey pull out a bird.
I mean, that's what we needed. That is really what we needed.
I was thrilled to see that dress. I liked the callback of that because I thought that dress was amazing from the very first movie that she wore, the wedding dress. And I want a callback, especially they've been saying it's like the 25th anniversary of Sex and the City. So like, give me the fashion callbacks and stuff.
Yes.
But the other problem is it just makes me realize like, I don't love the costuming in present day. And I'm not fashionista. Like, what the fuck do I know? But I just am not getting the wow factor from what's her name? LTW or what's Charlotte's, the mom at Charlotte's.
Lisa yeah. Todd.
She had that dress at the end when she was going to the Met Gala that I loved.
And she was like, I can't see, but like, who needs to see?
And there was like this beautiful shot of her walking across the street.
Like, and her husband was like tangled up in the fabric. That was a beautiful shot.
That was like a good shot.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like just clothes that I'm just like, oh, I'm not really into it. But maybe with time, I'll look back on it and be like, oh, that was better than I think. Am I being too critical?
No, I think it's hard because like Pat made, like it just the original series has such a specific aesthetic and the costumes are like a character on the show. Mm-hmm. So when you feel like the costumes and the characters aren't living up to the original, it's kind of like, yeah, I can love it even because it's bad, but it's like not scratching that like fashion itch that Sex and the City is supposed to scratch.
And all that fucking build up to the Met Gala, and then we never got the Met Gala. I was like, show us some. And obviously it probably was not easy to film at the Met Gala.
Yeah, but the Gossip Girl reboot got a Met Gala scene.
Right. So didn't Ocean's 8 or whatever that was?
We got lots of fake Met Gala scenes.
Yeah, we can do it.
We can do it. For Sex and the City.
If we got all that fucking money to drive up to Kim Cattrall's house,
come on.
We could figure it out.
Come on.
Hannah, we have to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and discuss more because I have other thoughts. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And I'm going on tour. Go to everythingiconic.com for tour dates in October, Nashville, DC, San Francisco. There's still tickets available, so come see me. And Cleveland, too. Cleveland's going to be kicking it off in late October. I cannot wait. So get tickets at everythingiconic.com. We'll be right back. All right, I'm sure a lot of you out there can relate because every time there's a commercial break and I'm watching one of my shows, I'm always hopping on the Redfin app or website because I just want to check out real estate listings. Like, I love checking out real estate listings, even for the houses that I cannot afford. It's my favorite app to use, Redfin. I just got a home, of course, but it was a pretty stressful process. And if I would have known how easy Redfin was, I think it would have helped out a lot. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. See something you like? Well, book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process, making it so easy. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents with a listing fee as low as 1%. Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. Now that's a great thing. I love using Redfin. I love checking out. If you're buying or selling a home and you need some help with that, check out Redfin. Download the Redfin app to get started. Yeah. And we're back.
I cursed the day you were born.
All right, Hannah. So we did lose big last season and mm-hmm. Stanford went away. We did get a quick little update about Stanford, which I was happy. I think Carrie said he sent something from where he was mm-hmm. to Carrie, which was nice, but you know, I wish we got, you know, so I don't know sad. Are they just going to keep Stanford gone
far
forever?
Away? They have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sad.
I know. See, it's all these things that it's like, I get what they're doing, but some of these things should maybe be a sign that we shouldn't do the show.
Right. Right.
You know, like we don't have the full cast. It's a little, I don't know.
Yeah.
I love it. I love watching it. I don't even want to say that, but maybe.
But you know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe we could think through some of the way we're handling some of these things.
Right, right. Okay, so you wanted to talk about Carrie's cooking skills.
Yes, so we find out that Carrie's co-worker, producer, hot man she's sleeping with, he's gorgeous.
He's so hot, yeah.
That he just walks...
They should have shown us... this is gross. They should have shown us more dick. Like,
you know what? And now we said it.
It's Sex and the City... They showed us a little dick last season. Like, give us a little more.
We have Miranda giving us her full bod time and time again.
Right. Let's go, girls.
Let's go, girls.
Give us dick.
Give us dick. Franklin just wants to watch. He watches cooking shows, but he doesn't cook, which I cannot watch cooking shows because I get hungry and upset.
Oh, interesting.
Part of why I'm not caught up on The Bear, because I get so hungry. I'm like, I can't get an Italian beef in LA.
I know. I want to watch The Bear too, but being from Chicago spending time.
I get so hungry.
Yeah, it's hard to watch.
And we find out that Carrie, the only thing she can make is, and I quote, little piece of salmon. It's just so Carrie.
So quaint.
Yeah, that the only thing she can make is little piece of salmon. And I'm like, oh, eye roll. It's just so Carrie.
I'm noticing in rewatching the original series, it's like how many times they use that bit about her putting clothes in the oven. It's like enough.
She did it again in, I think, the second episode. She's like, and as it turns out, there's more you can use an oven for than storage. It's like, we know.
They landed on that joke in 1998 and they were like, this is the funniest fucking thing ever.
It's so quirky and whimsical and endearing.
They were like, we're going to be using it for 40 years.
Yeah.
We're going to be saying the same thing mm-hmm. over and over and over again about how I use the stove or the oven for clothes. It's like, we need to retire that.
And what I want to know is, logistically speaking, when she makes her little piece of salmon, how long does she wait between putting her sweaters back in? Because you don't want them sweaters smelling like salmon.
Oh, wait. This might be a really dumb question because I don't eat salmon. Mm-hmm. Do you cook it in the oven? Or?
I bake mine. You can also make it in a pan, but I like baking mine.
I wonder how she does hers.
Maybe she doesn't bake it. Maybe she's a pan girl.
She poached that egg.
She did.
I was wondering, do you feel like it goes against the Carrie having her develop this interest in cooking? Does it go against the character or is it just showing another side that she's evolving?
I guess you could argue that she's evolving, but like, do I need to see her learn to cook? Not really.
Right.
I it's kind of like, what, you've lived your life this way for how many years and what would possess you at the age of like 50 something to be like, I'm going to learn how to poach an egg.
You know,
so Julie and Julia.
Totally. One of the things I feel very passionately about the movies that I love, like the rom-com universe, is the Nancy Meyers, the Nora Ephrons, like they do food porn so well. And
yes.
I always say like romantic comedies, that's the most important thing. Like anytime they're eating, the food needs to look delicious. Doesn't matter what it is
yes.
or if it's in passing or sort of in the background or whatever. It needs to look like amazing. And because Sex and Just Like That is supposed to be this fantastical series that really is women and gay men are watching it. Mm-hmm. I really think they need the food to look amazing.
Yes.
And so if we're going to see the poached egg, which we saw, it was fine. It looked good. Fine. But I think like, let's lean in and just like make that fucking look like the best fucking poached egg. Like,
yeah.
The audience should want to be watching it. This is a rom-com rule. You should want to immediately eat the poached egg after you watch it. Just yes. like when you watch It's Complicated, you want them croissants.
Yes, you want that roast chicken. Do you remember the episode of Roni where Ramona's eating roast chicken at the Berkshires at Bluestone Manor? And she goes, oh, Dorinda, it's so succulent, so juicy, so delicious. And she's like, she just got in a fight with Dorinda or something, and she's over the top talking about how succulent the roast chicken is.
Oh, I miss them.
I want Dorinda's roast chicken so badly. Have you had it in real life?
No, but I slept at Dorinda's house
right.
in Bluestone Manor. And she made this like layered potato. Ugh. Like it was like, have you seen them on, they're kind of a thing online, but it's this version of making a potato where you slice it so thin and you keep layering.
Is it kind of like potatoes au gratin almost, but like fancier?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I don't even know. I think she baked it and then finished it, but it like sits, it soaks for like ever. The thinnest things. And it was so fucking good. It was so good. She's like a good cook. Ugh. And Len was there too cooking, and like Len was giving.
Oh my God, amazing. See, Dorinda understands she was giving you the rom-com experience those potatoes.
I saw the new Roni.
How
do I play the scary sound effect?
I know you played the Bethany moment already.
Yes, we have to discuss this.
We have to discuss it. I did something that I don't know what possessed me to go to her like Rewives podcast, but I saw that Leslie Bibb was on, and I love Leslie Bibb. Loved her since Ryan Murphy's Popular in like 1999. And she was on as Bethany's guest to discuss the episode Ship Happens in Cartagena.
How was it?
And Leslie Bibb was lovely and gracious. The way Bethany like steamrolled over Leslie Bibb, talked about herself, like they were talking about like drinking, and she's like, and I have this new rosé, and it's amazing. It's called Forever Young. It's amazing. And like, da, da, da. And I was just like, you're so fucking insufferable. And then the best part is, Leslie Bibb goes, oh, and you know, Sam, because she's been with Sam Rockwell for like 16 years. She's like, and Sam might come out of the bathroom, you know, while we're recording. And Bethany's like, wow, is he going to have clothes on or something? And then he comes out and Bethany's like, oh, it's disappointing that you have clothes on. Well, no, you know, because she set it up, because she made a joke that was like, Sam might come out of the bathroom. Da, da, da. Oh, and then Bethany looks at Sam Rockwell and goes, oh, wait, I know you. Big actor. Yeah. And then she goes, do you know me? And Sam Rockwell's like, have you interviewed me before? And Leslie Bibb's like, nope, she hasn't. Nope. And it was so uncomfortable. Oh, and so God. Bethany, the way she navigated it. She's like, no, I don't do research on anyone. I don't do research on anyone. I'm like, how
she's
do
like
you?
So proud of that.
I'm like, how do you not know that Leslie Bibb and Sam Rockwell have been like a power couple for like 16 years? Like, get
I
the fuck
love
out.
That you're a Leslie Bibb stan. Like,
it's so niche.
So random.
I love her.
I find Bethany's presence super stressful.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm scared to. Have you ever been attacked by Bethany stans?
No.
Tough place to be.
You're like, I lived it.
It's not like it used to be. I think like probably 5-6 years ago, she had more stans. I don't want to get attacked by Bethany.
Did you see that she already made a TikTok clapping back at the And Just Like That?
Oh yeah,
joke?
Yeah, yeah. So wait, this joke and Just Like That, they make fun of Bethany, which is so funny to me because it's like, who did she piss off over at in the whole writer's room? And like everyone that because something like that, it goes through so many different people. So
and her show, The Big Shot, was on Max.
Yeah, it's so funny to me.
She probably was so insufferable to work with, and they were all like, fuck her, let's make a dig.
And the joke is that, was it the Hamptons or something? Like, having to be
Carrie's like,
place.
I've always found a reason not to go to the Hamptons, or like, not to own a home in the Hamptons or something. And then Seema's like, was one of those reasons Bethany Frankel?
It's so good. And also, it goes back to Sunny Hostin, like, lived yes. next door to Bethany yes. in the Hamptons, and Sunny's a host on The View. And you can go look it up online. Sunny's told this story like a million times about how she hates Bethany because Bethany like yelled at her kid in somewhere or something.
That's scary.
Yeah, but so it's so funny. I wonder if they like the writers saw that and they were like, oh, let's base it on this story, or if they just genuinely like other people have had experiences with her in the Hamptons, or somebody in production really like, I imagine there's also maybe a world where SJP doesn't care for Bethany because SJP and Andy are really
close,
and Andy's really close with Bethany, so there had to have been some knowledge of each other, right?
Yeah.
And so SJP's sitting across from Seema as this line happens, and like, I need to know what SJP is thinking. Like, I need to know everybody's thought process behind this one line.
Do you think Andy and Bethany are still close?
I don't know.
Bethany's always going to claim that they're close. Like, she's always going to claim that they're best friends and secretly text.
But I
think
really
SJP and Andy are, like, actual, like, best friends. Yeah. Like, if Andy had to choose one of them in the divorce, he would choose... Okay, well, I think Bethany is generally insufferable. I do think she's probably the type of person who is a delight to people who she sees as, like, more powerful.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah. Who would you rather be in a room with, Che Diaz or Bethany?
Oh, my God. I think I would go Che Diaz, because I think Che Diaz would be easier to, like, win over and, like, lol with. And I think Bethany would just, like, be mean to me. Right. And I'm non-confrontational. I would just burst into tears and, like, hyperventilate.
Yeah, kind of like how when I interviewed Bethany and I got off the line. So the sex in Sex and the City. Mm-hmm. Did you like the sex? The first episode opened, that was another complaint about season one, was like, we're not getting a lot of sex stuff, right? Yeah. We had to deal with so much of the Biggs death, and it was really dramatic. Which, by the way, another thing that pissed me off was the music choices. One of the things I loved most about the first season was they used the score from the first movie, and I thought it was beautiful. And then they got rid of it this season, which I thought was weird.
That is weird. We need a through line, because it doesn't seem like there's any through line at this point.
Wait, what was my question, though, before that?
Other than Che Diaz.
What did I just ask you about?
You said, how do you feel about the sex?
Oh, yeah. So they opened this season with a bunch of sex.
Everyone's having sex.
Everyone's doing it.
Except for Dr. Naya.
Yeah, that was sad to me when Dr. Naya was, like, watching.
She says she's watching Bridgerton knockoffs, which is, like, really depressing, because Bridgerton itself is, like, extremely sexy. But a Bridgerton knockoff? No, thank you.
What is it? Does such a thing exist?
If it does, I don't want to know what it is.
Watched Bridgerton, didn't you?
Season
you
were texting me. Yeah. I was like, Danny, I need you to get on board.
I know. Speaking of music, I love the music from Bridgerton.
It's like so pretty.
Yeah. The way they do that. Mm-hmm. But so they added more sex, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm supposed to know. This is my show.
Sometimes I feel like I'm not like some like uptight like loser, but I will say it was just kind of like an abrasive way to open the season. It's just like everyone going to Pound Town all at once. Like, it just wasn't what I was expecting. Like, everyone had like a sultry walk out of the bathroom or like the closet, and then it was like Pound Town USA.
Right.
And it's just not what I was expecting in like an establishing shop. But again, like, I'm not like a
There's
nun.
A weird thing now where it feels like everything is, no one wants sex anymore. It feels like everything is like so desexualized in a lot of ways that I feel like shows and movies and stuff, they don't have a lot of titillating stuff anymore.
And this is, you know, what I was just bitching about with Bridgerton season two is like the sexual tension was so sexy, and then the actual sex scenes were like pretty short, and I didn't think there was enough of them. So it's like, I don't really know what the fuck I'm talking about, because then here in Sex and the City, we're getting all this sex, and I'm like, that's kind of a lot for opening a season. So I don't really know what I'm talking about.
Right. I think there's ways to do sex too, where it's like, sometimes you don't even have to show everything.
Yes.
And you can shoot it. Like, gosh, this is maybe a weird throwback, but this movie Jawbreaker, did you ever see this movie Jawbreaker?
Yeah.
It's from the 90s. And Darren Stein, who's a friend, he directed this movie and wrote it. And there's a scene with Rose McGowan and this hot guy, and she sort of like forces him to eat a popsicle. Like, it's sort of a metaphor for sucking dick or whatever. And he doesn't have a blouse on, gorgeous man. And for a lot of people my age or around my age, it was like kind of one of those sexual awakening moments, right? But there's no nudity in that scene at all. But it's like the hottest scene. It's like so sexy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of gay directors are able to do that well. And I know Michael Patrick King runs the show, but I would like it if they would kind of lean into that sometimes too, and like show us some like really sexy, like get us going a little
bit.
But
it doesn't have to
always be complete nudity. Although I'm fully supportive of that as well.
Yeah. But more dick.
For a show like, I love more dick. But for a show like this too, I think they can do tantalizing in a way that would be fun if they leaned into that a little more, right?
Yeah.
Because they got such hot people on it.
It's like buy us dinner first and then, you know, and you know, then we'll take it to the bedroom.
Right. Okay. In the second episode, we find out, this is shocking. Are you ready for this? Che Diaz is married. What do you?
To Oliver Hudson.
Oliver Hudson.
One of the hottest people I've ever seen.
Oh, really? You think?
I mean, that was kind of an exaggeration.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think the Hudson family in general is very attractive.
Yeah. They're all like so likable. There's times where I'm like, is Kate Hudson annoying? And then I listen to an interview or something. I'm like, no, she's just the most charming person on the planet.
She has the most infectious laugh. She's so charming.
Don't you think sometimes, like when she's not in front of you, do you ever feel this way? Like, she's not in front of you in any way, but like you think, is she annoying?
Yes.
And then you realize, like, actually, she's not.
No, because I think the thing is, there are so many people on this planet trying to be what Kate Hudson naturally is. Like, free-spirited, like, loves to sing, bohemian, sweet, has an adorable laugh, just, like, naturally gorgeous. I think there's so many people, like, in Silver Lake at this very moment, trying extremely hard to be Kate Hudson. So you see someone who actually is that, Kate Hudson, and you're like, there's no way this is authentic, but it is. And that's why you're like, wow, she wins me over time and time again.
Wow. I'm blown away. I'm blown away. I just was listening to an interview where she was saying she's like coming out with an album. I'm like, I don't know that people are really going to listen to it, but you're so fucking charming that we're going to maybe have to give it a try.
I wish she would come out with like a Christmas album.
Yes.
That's what we need.
I know.
Get her on the line.
I'm totally on board for anyone coming out with a Christmas album.
Yeah.
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 Or just share repurposed songs as a Christmas album. Like, give us Walking in Memphis as a Christmas song.
Oh, my God. Add some jingle bells in the background and call it good. Yeah.
Figure it out. So Oliver Hudson shows up and is married to Che Diaz, which is not something I saw coming.
No.
And he's living in L.A. And Miranda is completely thrown off because Miranda was doing some... She went to her AA meeting, which I'm glad they didn't drop that storyline from the first season. But so she went to AA in Los Angeles and then goes to do this environmentalist thing. And then she loses her phone in some seaweed.
There's no worse feeling than losing your phone, much less in some seaweed.
But there, here's the thing with some of it. It's like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like natural, some of the beats of what happens. Like, I didn't feel natural to me that she just like lost the phone in there. And then when everybody just like sprinted out after she lost her phone, I was like, well, you just lost your phone. Like, keep one of those people around and just say, hey, I'm so sorry I lost my phone, like, before you leave. Instead of having, like, everybody leave that you spent the whole fucking day with, you would have had, like, some working. There was that one guy who was working at the beach who she had, like, a weird kind of rapport with, right?
Yeah. She was like, oh, funny. And he's like, whatever.
But you mean to tell me, like, there was no one else from that whole fucking beach day that you even had, like, a passing, like, moment with that when you lost your phone, you couldn't be like, hey, Sally, or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Can you stick around for a minute? I'm so sorry. I know we just met, like, 8 hours ago when we started cleaning up the beach together. But, like, maybe stick around. Instead, like, everybody just, like, sprinted off. And then she has to go. She finds a hot, speaking of a hot guy, there was, like, a man without a blouse on and by the truck in the beach parking lot, and she had to ask him for a phone. But it's like moments like that where I'm like, that feels so weird and clunky. Like, why didn't somebody else from the beach cleanup stay around? Like, that kind of writing stuff, I'm like, what else?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because, like, I don't know if it goes this deep, but, like, are they trying to say that, like, LA people are just, like, kind of disconnected and do their own thing and none of them really cared? But it's true. There was this, like, mass exodus, and clearly she was frantically looking for her phone. Also, I'm kind of, like, sick of this, like, trope of, like, Miranda, like, being, like, the bumbling idiot, like, in the cast, where it's like, oh, my God, she can't figure out how to get out of the sensory deprivation tank. She's so clumsy. She loses her phone. She's always kind of, like, lost. And it's like, oh, like, frazzled. And it's like, can we just, like, give Miranda a little bit of dignity sometimes?
Right, right.
And then she gets in the car with Lyle, Oliver Hudson, only to discover that Che Diaz is married. It's like, that sucks, too.
Right. The other weird thing about it is, like, this season, at least the first couple of episodes, it feels more like Sex and the City than I think last season did. But I also think the thing that we're picking up on is that the episodes are so much longer. And so they're sort of written more like Sex and the City, but we're not getting the voiceover and they're much longer. And so they're not as tight episodes. And so I think that throws us all off.
Yes, because it's almost like a hybrid of like the show and the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're trying, they're kind of melding the two. I do really miss the voiceover.
I do too.
I miss her typing at her computer. I miss like that trope.
And I sort of thought we were getting that trope because at the end of last season when she's like, and this is Sex and the City at the podcast, I thought, oh, perfect way to bring in the narration for next season because I think we did miss it.
Because now it can be the podcast version.
And then the podcast, which...
Now we got to get into this.
Oh my God. Hannah, like what the fuck was going on? So she's got this podcast called Sex in the City with the Hot Guy.
It just started.
Just started. And then it ends in episode two when Carrie decides she will not read an ad for some vaginal product. Been there. Although
ladies,
I read that.
Right?
I'll read that. But she refuses to read this one ad, effectively tanking a whole podcast company. Like what? That's
everyone's
crazy.
Like packing up their desks, like leaving the office. They're like, we sold the office to somebody else. Like no one has a job now.
And that gal from the Glee project just wheels on in. It's like, Carrie, you fucked it all up for us. We're closing down. And it was like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
It's fucking nuts. And we're all watching this as audience being like, okay, well, like they're telling us that she didn't read this ad and got the whole fucking business shut down.
And I'm sorry, like a woman with a podcast called Sex in the City doesn't want to read a podcast about a vaginal like product.
Right.
A tampon, a suppository, something for vaginal health, a wipe.
Also, like, how are we all, we're just expected to suspend disbelief that it's taken her so long to rewrite a copy for a 60-second ad. Like, let me tell you something, as an expert in this, you can rewrite the thing in 30 seconds. Like, I get the ads, I do the ads here on Everything Iconic, and sometimes it'll say, like, put it in your own words or something like that. And you do it, and it takes 60 seconds. So then,
especially if you're a writer.
It was a crazy, exactly. Like, you're a writer, and it's taking you this long, and you're, like, going back and forth about, like, rewriting it with the new boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is going on? And then it's taking you so long, and it's like, how long is it taking her? Because how did we go from you not doing this and the Glee Project gal yelling at you to do it, and then... She was in that show, Glee Project, by the way, if people don't understand what I'm saying. But then it takes forever to write it. Like, how much time was in between you saying you won't read it and the whole company closing? And by the way, I just have to also add that, like, in terms of a company's bottom line, that one ad would not have made a difference.
Tanked the whole company.
Specifically because it wouldn't have done it instantly, because the payout wouldn't have even happened for months. There's net 60, net 90, depending on what
Good
it
point.
Is. So it's like... It's all such leaps of logic that we're supposed to make. And I'm just thinking, why don't we just clear that up a little bit?
And the only person who seems rightfully as upset as they should be is the Glee Project gal. She's the one who's like, what the fuck is going on, Carrie? Like, you fucked this for everyone. Everyone else is like, well,
fucking
see ya. It's
ad.
Been fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Why isn't nobody saying, like, read the ad? Or read it. I mean, I guess they say, like, we'll figure out a new way to read it. But also I thought all those staff on that podcast, and like, couldn't somebody have just said... Oh, I'll rewrite it for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
They have some intern that's like insanely good at writing and that they could have tapped if Carrie was too tied up.
Or that woman who was so upset about it, who ran the whole company. Couldn't she have just been like, oh, I'm going to rewrite it for you. Like, even though I don't want to have to do this.
At that point, I would just learn how to do Carrie's voice and be like, hi. So
that's the
you know what I mean?
Thing. Yeah.
Someone
just
else
have
do
somebody,
it.
Have that guy, the producer read it.
Yeah.
Because they're allowed to do that.
Hey, I'm Carrie's producer.
It's shocking. Like, and also how many listeners could it, there's no way that show would have had many listeners anyway, because
no.
It just started. I don't think there's millions of people lining up to listen to Carrie Bradshaw's podcast. I'm sorry, I would, but in the world of Sex and the City,
right.
I don't think she's such a huge presence that she would have so many listeners off the bat. I mean, there's huge celebrities that launch podcasts now
right.
that don't do well. And so it's like there wouldn't have been bringing in that much money. So that one ad was probably only bringing in $10,000 or something. Like, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I feel like nuts that we're expected to think. And then at the end of the episode, like, welp, we're closing.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Everyone's packing up their stuff.
I feel nuts.
And then Carrie and Franklin have like a nice, pleasant little, like, sort of pseudo breakup.
And Carrie, it's so funny at the end, after the whole company closes, she's walking with him and she's like, welp, I got more time in my hands.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't feel any remorse. You put all them people out of work.
She doesn't care. She's like, and just like that, I freed up my whole week. And she's like swinging her little purse.
It's crazy.
I was like, wait, also, I was also shocked that she was so, I don't know what this says about me, so quick to turn away from like Thursday night sex with Franklin. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
It's she's like, he's just too in love with me. It's like kind of annoying. I'm like, I wouldn't care if I were her.
Right. It was also a leap in logic for him to be like, well, I want more. I just didn't buy that.
Yeah. He's like, I really want to date you or like hang out.
I'm sorry. What straight guy says that?
Yeah. And a guy who looks like that. Are you kidding? Like right. he probably has a different woman for every night of the week.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And he's like, Carrie, you are my favorite. And like, it's okay. You don't want to date me. It's fine. And she's like, you're right. I don't.
She's like, I just want sex once a week. And he would really be like, okay, well then we have to end this because
right.
that's not working for me. I was like, I just don't buy that.
I don't either.
And he's so hot too. I'm like, why are we getting rid of the hot guy so quickly? I don't, maybe he'll still be around and stuff, but what are we doing?
I know. I really, that's the other, I think like my biggest issue is I feel like they're kind of like rushing through storylines like really quickly, where it's like, she had sex with this guy for like two episodes, and they just started hitting it off at the end of the first season. Like, I think like the finale was when they like kissed for the first time, and now we're already just like done.
Yeah.
And we barely got to see him without a blouse.
Maybe he'll still stick around a little bit or something.
Maybe there will be like a love triangle. Like, she'll get back with Aiden and then she'll realize she wants to be with him.
And here's the thing. I do want them like bringing in all sorts of dick. Like, yeah. Because that's one of the things I like about the first too, is that it's like every episode. That's what I was thinking about, like having parent storylines and siblings. Like, that's what I would like. Just have me for one episode with the mom or.
Yes.
You know, like, we don't need the full season of it. And that I'm okay with the men kind of coming in that way too, and just being one episode here, one episode there. But I'm also going to complain about Franklin leaving because he's hot.
He's really hot. Yeah. You know what I would love? Sorry, going back to like Charlotte's origin story, I would love a weekend where like Charlotte's like mother meets them in the Hamptons, and she's like super like bent out of shape and stressed about seeing her mom, and she needs everything to be perfect.
Wait, who would you cast as Charlotte's mom?
Sally Field.
Hmm.
I don't know. Who would you cast?
I think Sally could be great.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Sally Field in anything.
I know. Put her in everything.
Is she old enough? How old is Kristen Davis?
Probably early 50s. And we might be stretching it a little bit.
I was going to say early 60s there. Oh, am I wrong? No, yeah, you're right. I think 50s. I'll look it up. But yeah, I think Sally Field would be good. I mean, did you see that gal from Shameless is playing Tom Holland's mother?
Oh my God, Emmy Rossum. Okay, isn't that crazy? Emmy Rossum is like 35 years old and Tom Holland's like 25.
Hannah, like, I love that. Because I read an interview of like, one of them were defending it. They were like, oh, it makes sense in the storyline.
No, it doesn't.
It's like that time, sort of recently or over the pandemic, Kevin Bacon and Amanda Seyfried were playing love interests. Did you see that? And I'm like, what is happening?
What the fuck?
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I feel like Amanda is like the same age as his daughter.
Oh, Kristen Davis is 58.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all 58. Sarah Jessica's 58. Cynthia's 57.
How old is Sally Field?
Kim is 66. Kim Cattrall. How old is Sally Field? Let's see. Sally Field is so good in everything.
She's so good. 80 for Brady.
It's like disgusting that she's just not. She's 76, so I don't know, do the math.
I'm no math. She's a little young, but they could age her up like they did to Mandy Moore in This Is Us.
As we're saying, it's like pretty soon Mandy Moore is going to be playing like Seth Rogen's mom. Like, that's what we're going to be getting. Like, that's what's happening in the television landscape these days.
Yeah, we're all just supposed to buy it.
It's like, oh yeah, there's Mandy Moore.
She's like, come here, honey, have some casserole. He's like, thanks, mama.
I sort of like his new show. Do you watch it? Platonic.
Oh, Platonic. It's no, good. I want
I'm
to.
Two episodes behind.
It's on my list.
Do you watch the other two?
I've watched it. I'm not caught up.
It's my favorite fucking show.
It's very funny. Oh,
I love it if people aren't watching. It's also on Max.
So good.
Wait, what was I just going to say? I lost my train of thought.
Mandy Moore playing Seth Rogen's mom. Sally Field playing Charlotte's mom. They meet in the Hamptons and Charlotte's
This Is Us, when they would age up Mandy Moore, she looked exactly like Diane Keaton in Father of the Bride Part 2.
She really did.
And watching Father of the Bride Part 2, I thought Diane Keaton, when I saw that movie as a kid, I thought she was 70 plus. Like, didn't she seem 70
Yes.
plus? And now come to find out, I rewatched it and it's like, oh, she's like 40.
Yeah.
It's like, why did they make her look that way?
Same with like Golden Girls. Like, those women were like 52.
Right. It's shocking.
And they made them look like they're like 85.
I know. They're going to
like live in moo-moos.
Reboot Golden Girls with Mandy Moore, Emmy Rossum, Sydney Sweeney.
Okay, now we're talking.
They're just not. Who would be the fourth? Zendaya.
I was going to say Zendaya. Just put all the Euphoria girls in the Golden
like
Girls.
Mandy's the oldest, so they're like, you're the Sophia.
She's Sophia.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so Charlotte in this second episode, she's in this thing with Real Deal. Now, I meant to look this up. Is Real Deal a real thing?
Or no, but the Real Real is.
What is the Real Real?
The Real Real is like consignment. It's like, I think online consignment. Yeah, but it's like really bougie. It's like where you take your designer stuff and they like, it's like a consignment
site.
So
it's like Burlington Coat Factory.
Sure. Yeah, literally, it's TJ Maxx.
Have you ever used it before, the service?
I haven't, but my sister, shout out to Alex, loves the Real Real.
It was bugging me when they were at that store because Charlotte is trying to get like Rock's dress back. Mm-hmm. And Carrie picks up one boot and I was getting so mad that she didn't just pick up the second boot. And also that like the whole time when Charlotte's like walking around and trying to figure this out, I thought, why wouldn't Carrie just check out? Because she's got all that time waiting around. Because then when Charlotte was finally ready to leave and she's like, I'm giving up, Carrie's like, well, I gotta go buy this. And I was like, Carrie, why didn't you buy it earlier?
You've been wasting time. Her pigeon purse was shocking to me.
Oh, where'd you land on it? Did you like it?
No, I hated it.
Yeah.
It was a plastic pigeon. I don't like a real pigeon, so I'm not going to wear a plastic pigeon around and open its little like tummy and take out a piece of gum.
Right.
Forget it.
It reminded me of like, my version of that would be like walking around with a Polly Pocket.
I would wear a Polly Pocket as a purse. I think that's chic.
Yeah, yeah. I showed you, I texted you yesterday. I got vintage jewelry, everyone. I ordered some vintage jewelry. And I'm so excited to pass it down to my children. I hope they really like it. But it is a 1998 Rugrats Burger King watch. Ugh. And it's Angelica Pickles from the Rugrats. But I did get it in the mail and I texted you. I got my vintage jewelry.
It's
and
beautiful.
I keep making the joke. I'm like Sex and the City, how they keep making the joke about Carrie's clothes in the oven. Mm-hmm. I keep making the joke to Matt. I'm like, I hope our kids appreciate this. And then I texted you the same joke. And I'm like, I'm just really like leaning into this bit.
It's great.
But it's vintage jewelry.
It's vintage jewelry. And queen icon legend Angelica Pickles, I hope your children appreciate her the way that she deserves.
And not to like go out, get too off track for us, but I did order a Power Rangers communicator watch that was also planned to be vintage jewelry for me. And it was the McDonald's communicator one. Mm-hmm. And I loved the Power Ranger toys from McDonald's when I was a kid, like obsessed with the movie ones that they had there.
When Mighty Morphin came out.
And I was so excited to get this watch because I thought, oh, that'd be like a kitschy, funny, fun thing, like in a high-low, like wear it with something nice.
Yeah.
And kind of nostalgic. And I loved it, whatever. And I couldn't fit in it. Like it didn't fit around. It was like made for actual children. And I'm like, man, what the fuck? But the Rugrats one, shockingly, are made for adults. Like it's like a big ass band.
Thank God.
So if anyone's looking in the market for vintage jewelry.
Oh my gosh, it's so on brand for you to wear like a nice button up with like an old Burger King Rugrats watch.
Wait, while you're here. Okay, so you're in my office right now and I got all this junk in here, but do you see that Power Rangers sign in front of those books right
there? Yes, right next to your little power line.
Okay, so it's like a room. It's called the Power Rangers Room Protector. And this was mine when I was a kid, but I had my parents send it to me. So when you walk in front of it, when you turn it on, it makes a sound. Can you go pick it up and we'll play it on here for listeners?
Oh my God, this
and
is
I'll
so
explain
fun.
It. So it's a room protector. And when you walk past, it says, okay, let me turn it on. It makes the sound. Let me try to figure this out. Okay. Okay.
Amazing.
Okay, so it says, this room is protected by the Power Rangers. So I had my parents send this, and I did not tell Matt, and then I hid it in the bathroom. And Hannah, I've never laughed harder. Like, Matt walked into the bathroom, and that just came on, because it's like motion or whatever. And so it just started yelling at Matt when he went in the bathroom, like, this room was protected by the Power Rangers, and he got scared, and it's the funniest thing to me, but I need to start hiding in more places.
I can't believe it still works.
I know. Barely. It's like made out of, I'm sorry, I hit it again. Let me turn it off. Go back. Stand back. This room is protected. Oh. I wish they made Sex and the City versions of that, like, stand back. This room is protected by Che Diaz.
I knew you were going to say that. That's what I was going to say.
Che Diaz is here protecting
stand
this
back.
Room.
This room is protected by Tony Danza.
Oh my God. Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
Also, the season opened with Hold Me Closer.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it opened with
Do you think
John Brittany
actually sang on that song or do you think it was AI?
I don't know. This AI stuff. There was just a new Marvel show and the whole opening credits is like AI. Did
enough.
You see that?
Enough.
Like, it's like, what's real and what's not? Some people are alleging that this show was written by AI and just like that. And it wouldn't be so.
Honestly, no, that would actually explain a lot.
Wait, going back to Tony Danza, would you fuck Tony Danza present day?
No. Would you?
No.
Would you fuck Kevin Kline?
Possibly. What does Kevin Kline look like these days?
The last thing I saw him in was No Strings Attached, starring one Ashton Kutcher and Natalie Portman, and he looked pretty good in that.
What about Harrison Ford present day, like India, like current India, because he's been in the press because he just did an Indiana Jones.
I don't think so. Would you?
I think I would.
See, I think like I would probably have fun like flirting with him at a bar, but then when I think about the logistics of like he's taking off his blouse and we're like getting busy, I don't think I could do it.
Right. Right. I know.
But I don't judge you. Yeah,
I've been
pretty
really
hot.
Concerned about this. I'm glad I finally have an outlet. I've been really concerned about him and Calista Flockhart because he didn't used to work so much, and lately he's been working a lot.
So true.
And although she was just photographed with him on a red carpet for the new Indiana Jones, I'm just worried. I feel like he's working a lot, and he's like 80 plus now.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying somebody has to retire, or, you know, I'm always so worried about being ageist, and I'm happy that he's working. It's just he's working now more than he did in his 60s and 70s.
Right.
And it's like, to me, I'm like, well, what's going on here? Right?
Yeah. Calista, what are you up to?
Like, he's doing that shrinking show. He's doing another Marvel movie. He's doing Indiana Jones. And
that is a lot for an 80-something-year-old man.
Yeah, a lot. And I just was reading something else he was just casting. I'm like, what's going on with him and Cliss?
It's like, you are literally the OG Han Solo. Like, you should have a house in Lake Como and just, like, kick back and relax.
Right. Or do, like, I understand, like, just doing Indiana Jones or something.
Right.
He's in that shrinking show, and that's, like, must be long hours, I would imagine.
Yeah, I get
auditioned,
it.
I auditioned for that. And Michael, Michael Urie keeps getting these roles that I'm auditioning for. Do you know who he is?
Wait, no,
from Ugly Betty.
Oh my God.
And a former Everything Iconic guest too. But anyway, apparently he's my competition. He's booking literally everything that I'm auditioning for.
That is such a troll. He seems lovely, but whatever. It's still a troll. Yeah, whatever.
Good thing I'm not, because here I am talking shit about Harrison Ford on that set. Harrison Ford would kick my ass. But I would think I would fuck Harrison Ford, I believe.
Maybe the reason you didn't book Shrinking is because you're destined to fuck Harrison Ford someday.
Oh, okay.
Matt would probably be like, yeah, it's a win.
Yeah. No, I don't think Matt would care if I was fucking Han. Is he Han Solo?
Yeah.
Matt's a huge Star Wars fan.
That'd be a huge win for both of you.
Yeah, it would be such a win for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I think I would do it. He does look way older and shrinking.
Do you think they aged him up, or do you think that's just...
No, I think he's 80 plus years old.
He has like sort of a surly demeanor. That's very cute.
Very attracted to him in What Lies Beneath.
Oh my God.
Like that's like dad. He's like dad vibes, like in a hot way.
I love that movie. I don't think we talk about it enough.
What's that line from the movie? Like, I think she's starting to, remember it was in every trailer. I think she's starting to suspect something. And then Harrison Ford's like, who? And she's like, your wife.
Your
and she
wife.
Turns into like Leslie Bibb. or she turns into like the other actress.
Yes. Wait, is it Amber Valletta?
Oh, it might be.
It might be Amber Valletta.
I know. It's like Michelle Pfeiffer. And then when she's like riding Harrison Ford. And
yes.
It was in the trailer and every commercial. And she's riding him. And you see it's Michelle Pfeiffer. And then I think she's starting to suspect something. But it's like a different voice.
Do you remember the scene where she...
It's like a Tennessee Williams play.
Yes.
And she's starting to suspect something.
My friend Joe and I love the part where she's... in the, oh, wait. Sorry, what?
I'm sorry. I'm just interrupting.
No,
I was
please
just
keep going.
Keep repeating that commercial. Your wife.
Your wife.
My wife.
My friend Joe and I love the scene where she's
somebody
in the rose garden.
I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you again. I'm
gonna kill you.
Somebody needs to edit. I think when we get off here, I need to edit Borat. Is that he the
into
one who
the
says
what
my
lies,
wife?
Yes, yeah, okay, into the What Lies Beneath trailer.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Go no, ahead. Now I'm it's over.
You have the floor. No, go.
The moment's past.
Go. No, you have to.
My friend
back.
Joe and I love the scene where she goes, "Don't you give me that shit! You killed your wife!" Because she thinks it's the neighbor who did it. My wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She thinks it's the
neighbor.
I thought
that movie was like, to me, when I saw that movie in whatever year it came out, I was probably a teen.
Yeah, like 98 or 99.
Was it? Yeah, whatever it came out.
97 maybe.
I think it was like 2001 or something.
Oh.
I could be wrong. It doesn't matter. But I remember seeing it and being like, this is like peak art.
Yeah.
Like I was blown away by like the script and everything. And I rewatched it sort of recently and it's like not great.
It's elevated Lifetime is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So did we talk all about the real deal stuff with...
Carrie spends too much time with the boot. She should have been efficient and bought it. Charlotte doesn't end up getting it back because it's in a warehouse.
Oh yeah. Were we too mean on the show?
Like just too mean just now?
Yeah. Like the whole episode, we've been recapping this.
I don't, probably.
You know, I just want to reiterate that I love watching it. Like it's so fun to dissect it and watch it, but it is nuts.
Yeah.
Right?
I think surely they have to know that too. I don't think you're
don't
saying
know.
Anything they
I don't think
thought.
They do, Hannah. Because here's the thing. I've been watching all this press and with the cast members and interviews and all this stuff. And first of all, with the Che Diaz of it all, I feel like they are, and I know this is an overused term, but I feel like they are gaslighting us in a way and trying to make it seem like we're not accepting of Che Diaz because they're non-binary. And I just think that's... that's not it.
No.
Like, I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier, where it's like, we were trained to like Miranda and Steve together.
Right.
So no matter who it was, if it was a cis man, whoever, it doesn't matter. I think we would hate them.
They're at a disadvantage, yeah.
And then you add on top of like the cringe dialogue, and presenting any sort of comedian in a show is going to be an uphill battle too, because no matter what show it is, if you present someone as being a really funny person who's given a whole fucking sitcom, then they better be funny, or else the audience is going to be like, well, how did they get a sitcom? How did this happen? You know, like they have to be really funny or it doesn't work.
Totally.
So it's like all these things on that. I don't think it has to do with her. Che Diaz being non-binary.
And I also feel like, and again, this isn't Che Diaz's fault, but I feel like the Miranda that we know and love is like nowhere to be found. And I kind of said that earlier, but it's just like, I don't even see like shades of the old Miranda, except for when she was like, you lose your power if you hook up with someone from work. But like, I want more like Miranda. Like, we love Miranda. And I'm like, I don't know who this like unhinged person is who like blew up her whole life.
I feel like they're doing the Miranda that was in the second movie.
Yes.
Where, remember that Miranda was like trying to be funny and like
leaning out the window of the car going, whoa!
Yeah. Yeah. Yahabi B. Yeah. I'm thinking of Countess Luann. What did she say? Yabba Dabba Doo or whatever.
She said.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That was in the commercial too. She's like, Yabby Dabby Doo or whatever. And it's like, that's the version they're going off of. And I understand characters evolve and stuff like that, but I'm like, that doesn't even feel like Miranda.
Yeah.
Miranda. I'm excited for Steve
Miranda.
To come.
Miranda.
Miranda, what are you doing here? Mine always sounds like Carol Channing.
Miranda. Carol Channing.
Miranda, it's Steve. Miranda, I'm not moving out of the house. Miranda, I'm staying in the house.
I'm staying here with Brady, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Miranda, fuck you, Miranda.
Oh, I miss Carol Channing doing voiceover back in the day.
I know. She's not with us, no.
No, R.I.P. Yeah. But I loved her.
Sometimes I get confused by who's with us.
And who's not.
Because Rosie O'Donnell uploads old interviews to YouTube from her show. Mm-hmm. And every day she uploads a new one. And it's like my favorite part of the day. But then I think it's starting to trick me a little bit. And I'm like, oh, is this present day?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, time is it's weird.
Like time is tough. Yeah. It's tough. Hannah, any other thoughts about the season? Do you have any other notes that we did not get to for these first two episodes of And Just Like That, season two? Again, it's insane and I love it, and also hate it sometimes.
The last thing that I want to say is I really want to see Naya get dicked down by a hot man, because I think her husband is being an idiot. And if my husband was writing songs with some girl in a flat brim like haim hat late at night in a hotel room, I would have a mentee bee.
That was shocking to me, because just in present day, I don't think people would you do that, like in a hotel room?
No.
I mean, after everything we've all been through, it's like you should know bare minimum that you shouldn't be like writing songs in a hotel room, right?
Yeah. And like, I felt so bad for her when she was trying to FaceTime him and like her cute little like chemise thing. And she was like, hey, like, and she's kind of drunk. And I'm like, she's really doing her best to like keep the spark alive from afar. And he's like fully turning her down and being like, I can't talk right now. I'm writing a song with Heidi in her stupid hat.
That's another like one of those examples where it's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, he would just either hang up the phone if like somebody else was in the room. Wouldn't you just hang up the phone? Or not pick it up.
Hey, I'll call you later.
It's so weird that it was like he just stayed on the line for so long. And that's when that's the kind of moment where I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why didn't somebody say, like, it doesn't make sense that he's staying on FaceTime when the minute he realizes she's trying to have FaceTime sex.
Right.
Get off the phone. And I think they could still have all of, like, I still think everything that happened in that moment, they could still get that point across without like keeping that phone call going on for so long.
Because
it's like this, it feels not like a human thing to do.
Or like if I were her, even if I were hammered and I realized, oh my God, he's not alone in his room, I'd be like, and like hang up immediately.
And you could still have her see that other person and stuff. But that's when I feel like this show is written by AI. Cause I'm like, that's not like normal human
behavior. It's not human behavior. It's like
just slightly off.
Yeah.
It's like just a little off where the audience might not even second think it.
Yes.
Like we would just be
it's
like,
almost
yeah.
like indiscernible.
I'm like, why didn't anyone say like, that doesn't make no fucking sense?
Yeah. It doesn't. And then she like ends up like, I feel like having to apologize for being like, okay, yeah, like I was kind of drunk last night. I'm like, you deserve. Like, you didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
He did something wrong, having some girl in a ham hat in his hotel room late at night.
I like that she was going, did she go to the bar alone?
Yeah.
I like
and
that.
And that hot guy hit on her and she was like, oh, he like wants to like get chocolate cake with her. And she's like, I can't have dessert or something. She like holds up her engagement ring.
I've been craving that Portillo's Chicago chocolate cake, like the best chocolate cake in Chicago. If you want, you can order it online too. This is not an ad.
Not an ad.
I'll rewrite it like Carrie if it was an ad, but yeah. I love decorating the house and getting furniture, but sometimes it could be overwhelming to design a space. And so luckily I'm here to tell you about a company called Cozy. Now Cozy is fantastic, a North American company that thoughtfully designs furniture made for modern living. Now, Cozy strives to provide the best furniture shopping experience with elegant, super high quality products, plus fast delivery and easy assembly, which is really important to me because I do not like putting together furniture. So the easier, the better for me. Now, Cozy offers beautiful, customizable sofas and sectionals that are made to adapt in time. This means customers can add seats to the sofas over time. Maybe if you're extending your family, you might want more space on the couch. Cozy also offers a great range of coffee tables, washable rugs, wall shelving, credenzas, TV stands, and accessories. So much. It's thoughtfully designed furniture made for modern living. There's an outdoor sofa and tables collection that is fantastic. It's called the Mistral. So you can choose the perfect sofa configuration for your outdoor setup. Cozy also opened its first retail space on Queen Street in Toronto to push the experience to the next level and allow customers to engage physically with the products. So transform your living space today with Cozy. Visit cozy.com, spelled C-O-Z-E-Y, to start customizing your furniture today. Again, that's Cozy, C-O-Z-E-Y.com.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Wait, the last thing I do want to say before we go, because we've been going forever, but I do like that last season, one of the also troubles was that we were all expecting like, who's the next Samantha? So every time they were at like a brunch, we were expecting who's going to be their fourth.
Yeah.
And what it seems like they're doing this season is just, now it's just rotating. We have all these cast members.
Right.
And I think that was really smart and I think a great way to be like, oh, there's no one's replacing Samantha, but like, it's fun now to see different pairings and to see, like, let's see Anthony and Carrie and, Naya and, Stanford or not, not Stanford. You know, anyone, just
Lisa, Seema.
Yeah. Let's see Brady over there with as the fourth. Like, it doesn't matter who it is. I like that. Hannah, this was so fun.
This was so fun.
You have to come back and do some more and just like that at some point.
I would be honored. I'd be happy to.
It was a wild ride. And I want to thank everyone for listening. And we will be trying. I don't know how exactly the And Just Like That recaps are going to be coming out because I haven't figured out a schedule. I got to figure it all out.
You're doing great.
And you know what? I'm doing my best. And I got some great interviews coming up. We're also covering Orange County and I'm already getting overwhelmed with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love recapping And Just Like That because it's so fucking unhinged. So I'm going to be doing it, but I don't know if they'll be with Orange County or if they'll be separate or something. So just subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. Click subscribe or follow to Everything Iconic. And you'll get all the updates there. And we'll check in as we check in and it'll be some way.
And it'll be great.
It'll be some way. Yeah. Hannah, where can people find you on social media?
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me, Dan. And thank you, listeners, for all the nice messages you send me every time I'm on Everything Iconic. It's really nice.
You don't ever get mean ones, right?
No,
Everything Iconic listeners are like really nice.
No, they're so nice. They're like, oh my God, loved you on the show. Like, people are so fucking nice. So thank y'all. Best. You can follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter, Hannah A. Brown Zero on TikTok, and check out my podcast that I co-host with my friend Tyler Meredith. It's a Gossip Girl recap podcast called You Know You Love Us.
Yes, You Know You Love Us. Subscribe to that wherever you listen to your podcast.
Yes.
And it's, you cover Gossip Girl, the original.
Yes, the original. And we did actually cover the reboot as well, RIP. And then we go on little pop culture tangents as well. Because, you know, Dan, we speak the same language. So you can anticipate that too.
Right. And just like that.
Just like that.
We've come to an end. I love you all so much for listening. Thank you to Acast, and go to everythingiconic.com for all those links. Love you all so much for listening, and goodbye.